It's Friday, June 8th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Hey, everyone, I got a great show for you tonight. Lots of cool stuff. I mean, really cool. Plus, I have an exclusive for those of you that are Skype users. We're going to talk about a cool application a little later in the show. So, yeah, you know it. Strap in. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you as live as you can be from historic Ford Island here in Honolulu, Hawaii. How's everybody? Are you ready for the weekend? Well, I am. And if you're not, well, oh well. I tell you, got a lot of stuff to do this weekend, got a lot of things on the agenda. It's going to be busy. Got a lot of reports to get out. Plus, I'm going to have a little fun here. Hope you do, too. You know, it's starting to get nice. Well, it's always nice here in Hawaii. But, you know, I'm hearing from many of you that are back in the lower 48 and in other parts of the country and world. And you're all saying, the weather's beautiful. We're getting out. Well, make sure you stay subscribed to the show and that you keep it being downloaded into your media players, or you make sure you continue to consume it, because the doldrums of summer months are here, and generally audience numbers go down with it. But let's try to make this summer one where we climb. But anyway, hey, all of you that are long-term subscribers, I know you're going to be part of the Ohana here. You're going to hang out, and you're not going to miss any shows. But I want to thank you for being part of the family. And, of course, thank you for staying subscribed. And those of you checking out the show for the very first time, make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com and check out all the great content there. Of course, click on the podcast link as well to get access to all the archive podcast as well. Well, I tell you, lots of stuff. I mean, I've been on the phone this week. I've been having conferences. It's been really, really a very, very good week. So exactly what has been happening anyway? Well, I got my official notice when after you've done your time in the Navy and you're getting ready to retire, you have to submit what's called a Fleet Reserve Request. And generally, when that goes in, it takes anywhere from 30 to 60 days to get the approval back. And it's basically saying, yes, we approve you to retire. Well, I had tried to I tried to retire once before, and they told me no. So I was a little bit anxious this time on whether or not they were going to let me go or not. And lo and behold, the approval came back. So nothing to, well, knock on wood, if everything goes right, I will be, my official retirement date is December 31st, but because I've got enough vacation time built up and you get some time to go travel and do house hunting, there's an additional amount of time that you get. So probably about October 1, I will be full-time with Raw Voice, so I'm really looking forward to that. And going to, of course, be out at the Podcast and New Media Expo at the end of September. So lots of stuff going on between now and then. Plus, I got to plan a quote-unquote retirement ceremony. I think you guys will all get a kick out of this. My son, Chris, he has been playing on a website. It's Disney.go.com. And when during the daytime, he asked my wife if he can go on the website. And they've got some little animation stuff. And he likes to play around on that. And I said, I've always told her, you know, make sure that you're, you know, he's only three, so I'm like, make sure you're in the room and he doesn't get sidetracked into some site. And so he's playing today, and he tells my wife, Daddy's computer upstairs is much easier to use, Mommy. And she's like, what do you mean? You know, Daddy's Apple, much easier to use than this machine. So for those of you that are Mac users, I think you'll get a kick out of it. But he was up here tonight with me for I got about 30 minutes. I let him play for about 30 minutes and having a great time. And it's the way the Mac is set here in the office is it's kind of offset to my left. And it's he's was just standing up and then playing. And it was kind of funny. It's comical to watch. But kids are amazing. They adapt very, very well. Well, earlier today, we had a Blueberry podcast meeting. Essentially, we had the podcasters and listeners in from the Blueberry community. We had a talk cast over on TalkShoe.com. Boy, we had a great crowd. I don't know. I think it was, I don't know how many people were in there, but 2 hours. 2 hours just open chat and discussion. I have a link to that in the show notes tonight. And again, this was not specifically for just podcasters, but it was kind of podcaster centric, but we talked about Blueberry and a lot of things that are going on in the podcasting space as well. So again, 2 hours. So it's a pretty long audio file, and I have about a 20-minute intro where I talk about some things that are happening. And but anyway, overall, pretty good meeting. We're going to be doing this every month with the entire group over there. So we look forward to having the next one on that. Well, tomorrow, actually today, for those of you who are listening to the show on Friday, the shuttle launch is supposed to go down at 7:58 Eastern. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm actually going to be at work. So that'll be a 1:58 in the afternoon here in Hawaii. So I'm going to have a stream going. So we're going to watch it in the office. And don't have a TV in our office. So I'm going to have to rely on internet, internet connectivity to make that happen. The kids are out of school now. Last day was today for them, so they're all excited, and they're up late, and you know how that goes. It's just like, school's out for summer. And they're all ramped up. But we here in Hawaii, the schools are so absolutely horrendous, and because I can't afford to have my kids in private school, the private school costs are anywhere between, you know, like $12,000 to $20,000 a year per child. And, oh, you know, I don't make that kind of money to have them in private school and still eat, essentially. So we send them to a tutor in the summertime, and the tutor cost is, it's around $3,000 for two kids. So we try to, you know, since we can't send them to private school, we'll send them to the tutor in the summer to kind of get caught up and make sure that they're good to go for the next grade. And my daughter's complaining because it's 6 weeks in the morning, starts at 8 to noon, and she is not at all happy. She's 10. She's like, I'm going to have to get out of bed early. I have to get ready. And you know how it is with kids, right? Everything's it's a big drama session. So, and she's 10 going on 20. So those of you that have daughters that age, you understand what I'm talking about. But so anyway, she has resigned. She has resigned herself that she's going to have to go to not summer school, tutor during the summer. And little does she know, it's a pain in the butt for us too, because we have to run them to the place and pick them up. And it is, you know, it's a lot of hassle, but it's worth it in the long run to get them essentially caught up and teach them the stuff that stupid schools here don't. And someday, hopefully I'll get a job that pays enough where I'll be able to essentially not have to worry about it and just send them to private school. But, you know, I'm a product of public education, so, you know, it's good enough for me, it's good enough for them. But, boy, here in Hawaii, they just, never mind, I'll be quiet. All right, it's maybe too late, but DivX at divx.com was giving away today a software package that was worth $20. I have a link up in the show notes. I missed it. I didn't find out until late this evening. I was able to download and get a free copy. Hopefully, it's still going on tomorrow, but I can't guarantee it. So those of you that are listening to the show very, very early, make sure that you click on the link in the show notes to that and go over there immediately and see if you can get a copy of that for free. And it's a great codec. And it is, for those of you that are working with a lot of video, it's very, 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 very worthwhile to do that. All right, let me look here at what I've got. There was something I was going to tell you, and I guess I don't have it written down, so it must not have been too important. Oh, I know what I wanted to tell you. I had actually talked to all of our sponsor vendors this week, and I'm happy to say they're very, very happy. And that means that, you know, everyone that was on the campaigns over at blueberry.com, and of course, Tech Podcast, and everything with GoDaddy, GoToMeeting, GoToMyPC, ecstatic. They're really, really ecstatic. So I'm really pleased. I want to thank all of you for supporting the sponsors. And if it's not necessarily, you know, if you've listened to another show or, you know, it kind of goes community-wide. So I was passing that information on. And I tell you what, very, very effective medium. I want to thank all of you for essentially making the sponsors very, very happy in the end results on this quarter. So with that, we want to make sure that you save money. And check out GoDaddy.com. They've got great domain names, hosting accounts, SSL certificates, you name it. They've got it. Virtual dedicated servers, dedicated servers. They've got websites that you can create on the fly. You name it. They've got it when it comes to web hosting needs. So check out GoDaddy.com. And when you get over there and you get in that checkout counter with one of those great products, use the code TODD when you check out and save an additional 10% on your order. You can always use Geek5. I used that today on some .tv domains. I bought mylifeonline.tv. Can you believe I got that? Mylifeonline.tv. I'm totally jazzed. And I told my told Shoko, I said, we're going to have to do like this, the Cochran family life online. And she's like, no. I said, come on, honey. It would be great. We can put cameras in every room. We can go 24/7 on... Except, you know, some rooms we won't be able to do that. We go 24/7 online. She goes, who would want to watch us? I said, you might be surprised. I don't think I'm going to convince her in it, but My Life Online TV is mine. And I used the Geek5 code with that today and saved 15% on that. Pod 58 is another one you can use as well. But thanks for GoDaddy for being a sponsor over here. And get one of those hot .tv domains, because you never know when you want it might be your own Justin.tv or something like that. So Ryan Ozawa over here in Honolulu has had a great write-up in the Honolulu Advertiser today, which essentially he's calling it light casting. And I guess it's a great word. He's got his rig set up now where he put his camera on his backpack. And I don't know exactly what he's using for. I don't know if he's carrying his... Boy, I'm coughing on you. I'm sorry. I don't know if he's carrying his Mac or what he's carrying. But he's basically going around Honolulu and, you know, streaming live on Ustream. And he's got it set up so that you can track him on a map and everything. It's really, really cool. So I need to get it hooked up with Ryan and see how he's doing the GPS portion of it as well, and I'm going to have to play around with that some more. You know, and if you've been on to Ustream and you maybe went riding with my wife and I when we went driving around, you'll see it's a lot of fun. So anyway, enough on that. But of course, we want to thank GoToMeeting for being a continued sponsor here at Geek News Central. And these days, whether you're in business or simply want to share something with friends or family, email and voicemail sometimes just isn't enough. That's why you should try GoToMeeting, a web conferencing solution that will revolutionize how you communicate with your business associates, family, and friends. The ability to host online meetings is an absolute must for today's business. With GoToMeeting.com, it's just like you're all in the same room. Unlimited meetings for one flat rate means you can meet as often as you want for as long as you need. Try it yourself for free for 30 days. Just visit GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. That's GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. Try GoToMeeting free today. All right, I got a lot of stuff tonight, and let me take a little shot of water here because I'm keep coughing on you. Sorry about that. But anyway, got one of the listeners of the show sent me an instant message just before the program, before I started recording here, and he sent me a link to a announcement over on PDALive.com on the forum section talking about how Ozus and Intel have been working away in a secret basement coming up with a sub-$300 notebook, and they announced it today. And I actually had seen something about this, but I want to thank him for sending this over to me. He says, oh, there goes on here the saying that Ozus is very firm that its starting price will be $200. Now, What is it going to have? It's going to have 2, 4, 8 gigabytes of some sort of flash RAM. And what else? It's going to have an Intel chipset, a 7-inch screen, and it doesn't say what type of operating system it's on it, but they're saying that the OS that they saw wasn't Windows, and it took about 15 seconds to boot. So what is that? Is that Linux, a revved down version of Linux? And they said it has been tested with XP. It has a modem, LAN, and Wi-Fi built in for good connectivity. Sub price for $200. I'm looking at this thing. If it's really this price and they're going to make these mass production, well, heck, perfect laptop for the kids. Run OpenOffice on it. And if it, you know, they'd be able to have their own little PCs. It may not do all the superpower stuff, but maybe it'll keep them productive. And maybe I can have some Linux gurus growing up around here and teach me a thing or two. But $200 is going to be the price on this thing with a little 7-inch screen. Very, very cool. Can you think about, just think about the applications that you're going to be able to do with this. If it's got a USB port, or even a FireWire port, you know, this would be awesome for just, you know, little applications, having this in your car. You know, it's essentially almost, I hate to say this, but it's almost like a little throwaway computer. Very, very cool. So we'll keep you advised on this. There's a YouTube video on this thing that's linked up with it as well. So take a glance at this. And what do you guys think? What are we going to do with this? You know, it's going to be, the geeks are going to love getting these anyway. First of all, that's who's going to buy them, to just check it out. But we'll see what happens here with this. But I'm sure this is going to make the folks that are developing that, sub $100 laptop or whatever it is, make them mad. But, oh well, very, very cool prices coming down. All right, the International Space Station, of course, they're going to be getting some visitors here soon. But the cosmonauts completed International Space Station shield work. So this went place where they, on Wednesday, when they finished up about 5 hours outside the station, putting on 12 shields, and they had done some additional shield installs on May 30th, but it appears this is all done, and they actually retrieved a Russian experiment. So they're saying here that the work went very, very smoothly. Now, earlier today, I found an article that had a full-blown report on different antivirus packages, software packages, and some of them that I'd really never heard about before. Actually, one of the voicemail calls that we'll go through later tonight actually had a talked about some of the software packages that were reviewed on this specific website. And I went over there to the website, and the page, for some reason, wasn't loading, but it's at avtaccomparatives.org. I'm going to link up the article that was the sublink from this original article, and it's on Ars Technica. But it talks about how these little-known AV packages had outdone some of McAfee's, Microsoft, and Symantec's different types, and they're outdone them in actually detecting viruses. So very interesting. I know that I've got some comments back from you folks that some of you said, don't run any of that Norton junk. And you know, I've had good luck with Norton. It has treated me well over the years, unlike McAfee has. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead and have this link up in the show notes. It may give you some options here. And if you don't want to run some of these applications that, many of us are running, and give you some alternatives, definitely give you some alternative ideas. And I was pretty impressed, actually, with the results of the testing that they did. All right, I think I've shared with everyone on the show before, I kind of have a soft spot in my heart for ham radio operators. Now, I never got my ham radio operator's license. I didn't even get the Morse code one. But I had my mom introduced me to a neighbor who was big into ham when I was a kid. I mean, I went into his basement, and he had, I guess the best way to call it is a man den. And he had gadgets and electronics, and oh, I was just in love with his little space that he had. And, you know, anything had a dial on it and it had something coming out of it, but it just really tweaked my interest. He sent me home after I'd been over a couple of times and hanging out and listened to him talk on shortwave. He sent me home with a World War II vintage ham receiver, and I put up an antenna on my roof that if lightning would have ever struck it, I probably would have been killed in my bed. And we've talked about that before, but another story for another day. But there's an article out that's saying that a ham radio group says that the FCC has turned a deaf ear to broadband by power line interference complaints. It appears that the National Association for Amateur Radios has demanded that a New York broadband over power line pilot be shut down. They're saying that they're getting interference from this. Apparently, the signal they're sending down is interfering big time with the local ham radio operators. And this is pretty sad. And it's sad that the FCC is not listening to them. And, of course, the power line company is saying, well, this is not an issue. There's no problem here. We're not interfering. And I bet you they are. I really do, because RF works in mysterious ways. And anytime you transmit down something down a wire, especially a power line, you can almost expect, well, guaranteed you're going to get some sort of signal off that could be very detrimental to communications. Now, I hope, I'm sure there's a few of you out there that are ham radio operators and take some interest in this, and hopefully we can, put some pressure on the FCC. I'm going to do some scoping out, see if I can dig up any more information on this and pass to you. Because, to be honest with you, this is a gateway hobby. And I guess what I should say there is, as kids are growing up, and they're exposed to people that have, shortwave radios in their homes, and it gives them a chance to touch technology and interact in a way that really, for me at least, was a defining moment in kind of determining what I would do in my professional career. And my background and my experience level is really in RF technologies. That's what I know a great, great deal about. And all of it started from being, essentially introduced at a young age to ham radio operators. So we'll have to see how this goes. I'm going to definitely do some digging on this. And if any of you out there are ham radio operators or have a friend that is, you may want to turn them on to this article, and maybe we can, as a collective, put some pressure on the FCC. I'm all about using technology over, being able to get broadband over a power line, but not at the expense of essentially, destroying or interfering with a great hobby and a great, a lot of people have got a lot of money invested in that kind of gear. You think doing computers and having technology in your home is expensive? Get into that hobby and stand by. Watch your credit card bill go up. All right, next article up is one off of Tech Dirt. Oh, I begin to wonder, the RIAA, need I say more, where we're going to go here? Let me just read the title of this article, and we'll go from there. Congress critters threaten to pass laws forcing universities to obey RIAA. Have you heard that correct? Congress representatives are threatening to pass laws forcing universities in this country to obey the RIAA, and if they don't, they're going to threaten them to take their funding away. I am sitting here boiling. I cannot believe this. The RIAA is spending a lot of money on campaign donations, of course. They're giving a little bit of money here, a little bit of money there, buying their way around the Capitol. And it appears, though, that various congressional committees have held some hearings, and they've been blasting the universities for not taking a more proactive stance and, quote-unquote, threatening to withhold federal money from universities that don't play by the RIAA's rules. This is stunning. It really, really is. And they list some of the dirty deed doers here. One of them is an outlandish statement by Representative Jim Sensenbrenner. Who does he belong to? Sensenbrenner. I want to hear from one of you listeners that have him as a representative. He's saying that file sharing drives up the cost of education. Huh? File sharing drives up the cost of education? How can that be possible? That doesn't make any sense. And then who does this senator belong to? Senator Bart Gordon? It's just unbelievable. Where will it end? It's not going to end. You know? And they're going to take, you know, it's just, all right, I'll stop. Yes, I don't like them. I really, really don't. Doc Searles, you know, I read his weblog every day. And every once in a while, you know, I don't know. A lot of people love Doc. You know, I've met Doc. He's a great guy. He's very influential in the blogging community. I just don't get a lot of articles I normally link to from his website. But I found one today that's pretty interesting. It's called Wanted, Lost GPS Finder. And he found this over at childlocator.com. And what this is this is a watch that your kid can wear. And it's just like a regular LED watch. But lo and behold, built within it is a atomic clock that's synchronized. It's got a built-in pager. It's kid-tested and tough, so it's if they get wet or they bang around, it's going to be okay. They can adjust the fit to fit on a kid's arm. It's got an actual little lock that locks and unlocks the locator. And so, basically, you can lock the watch so the kids can't take it off. That's, you know, that's almost a little bit dangerous, if you ask me. Then they've got a GPS-integrated digital wireless technology to pinpoint the wearer's location, has a lock button to lock the locator, and there's a little panic button on it where the kids can press for up to 3 seconds to request 911. It's interesting. Now, the doc says that someone wanted to buy this for their boss to keep track of them. But, you know, how does this work? The kids, you know, if they go into a school and, you know, of course, you got to be in line of sight of the satellite to get signal. How does this thing know where, you know, if the kid, I guess when the kid comes out of the school, it automatically updates anytime it can see the sky. I wonder how effective, you know, GPS is not effective unless it can see the sky. So, don't know what this cost. I don't know what I feel about it so far. Of course, with all this stuff going on with people being abducted now, childlocator.com. And might be a worthy investment for one of your little ones, or maybe even one of your big ones. Who knows? I don't think big kids are going to wear this thing because it's kind of got a little bit of a kiddie-type face on it. But anyway, real cool, childlocator.com. Rory, one thing that slipped past my radar on the Copyright Royalty Board when they made the increase in streaming fees was a new rule in the licensing in that, for example, if you have, let's say, Live 365 or Real Networks or Yahoo, you know, a lot of those sites have hundreds and hundreds of channels that you can essentially stream and listen to. Well, it appears that part of the ruling that the Copyright Royalty Board made was that they have set a per channel licensing fee of $500 per channel. So if you're a webcaster and you have five channels, you have to pay the Sound Exchange $2,500 just per year to have this. It's supposedly an administrative cost. But they're saying that between Yahoo, Real Networks, Pandora, and Live 365, that together as a group, they're going to have to pay more than one, get this, check this out, more than 1 billion, yeah, 1 billion with a B, a year in administrative fees. Now, that isn't even before they have to pay the streaming cost. Did you guys realize that? Now, there is some legislation going on right now, and actually I got an email today asking for the group that's fighting it, asking for donations. I'll put that link up in the show notes too. But this is amazing. Now, the question they have for the Sound Exchange is what are you going to be doing with that $1 billion a year we're going to be paying in administrative fees? Are you going to be giving that to the artists? Or are you going to be keeping that to, you know, pay off congressional people to, you know, Sound Exchange? You do realize the Sound Exchange is an arm of the RIAA, right? Well, what are they going to do with that money? Are they going to give that money back to the RIAA and they're going to use that to go after more people for peer-to-peer? This is what these folks are facing. $1 billion in administrative fees for their channels. Huh. I'm glad I'm not a streamer. I'm glad I am not. We're going to see here in a few weeks, if Congress doesn't act, the streaming channels are going to drop like flies. I guarantee you. Absolutely guarantee you. Are you looking for voice work? Yeah. Do you have a great voice? I know that there's a few of you that listen to this show that have great pipes. Well, you can go over to voice.com and register as a voice person. Or if you're looking for voice people, you can go to voice.com and have, jobs bid out. Very, very cool. I'm always looking for people to do a little bit of voice work here and there. So they give samples, and you can send an email to them and get a job priced out for whatever. You know, they got their prices listed. So, you know, sometimes it's just good to have someone with a great set of pipes putting something together. And voice.com will be the place to be able to do that. Oh, wow. Why didn't I talk about this in the beginning? All right, WordPress users, if you haven't heard already, and those of you that are movable type users, movable type version 4.0 beta is now online, and oh my goodness, they have definitely come to the plate bringing a couple of bats. WordPress folks, I'm sure, are going to have to really, you know, I'll give WordPress their dues. They took, when movable type went from a open source product to a commercial product, almost all the people that were developing for movable type moved over to WordPress. Well, movable type's kind of figured out, well, maybe we need to open source the application. They're going to do that. They're also making the beta is completely a revised blogging application. Going to be incorporating social media type stuff. They're going to be, you know, you're basically going to do social networking on it. They're going to take what they've learned on LiveJournal, Vox, and TypePad and put it into the movable type for a publishing platform. I've downloaded. I'm going to try to install it this weekend and take a look at it and start doing testing to roll GNC over onto the beta when it's stable. I already got my developer looking at if we're going to have to make any changes or not. But yeah, I'm kind of glad I stuck with movable type and didn't switch. Actually, I couldn't switch to WordPress because WordPress wouldn't do some of the things that I needed to do. It just wasn't the plugins there that were available. So good on movable type. I'm excited to see this. And I'm just wondering if any of you that have seen what's going to be released with MT4, if that would incline you to move from WordPress to MT4. Or if you've left MT4, would you come back? Now, I think the challenge that Six Apart's going to have is they're going to have a challenge in getting their, you know, people to come back to develop on the open source side. They're going to have to work hard to win those people back from WordPress. And we'll see. We'll see what happens here. All right, I've been holding back on this particular company just because I've been slammed before for talking bad about a competitor of a sponsor here. But I just got to talk about this company because they've really lost the confidence of a lot of people, and it's DreamHost. I know some of you are probably using DreamHost to host your podcast on, but it's really bad news what's coming out of there. Apparently, they were hacked somehow, and I don't know if it's 3,500 or 4,500, but a significant number of usernames and passwords were acquired, and numerous sites were defaced, hijacked, you name it. The site's been down, offline. It's not been good. It really, really hasn't been good. Scoble today posted something about it. It's got 34 comments here, and they just they've got, you know, some people that are standing up in defense of them, some people that are saying, oh my goodness, what's going on? I'm leaving, the whole nine yards. But was your account hacked? Did any of you have your sites defaced? Just think about it. You know, you're having your, how many of you who use the same password on multiple accounts? This is a lesson here. If some of you have done that, now, you know, be very, very careful. Go out there and get all your passwords changed on all of your other sites, because, you know, these hackers are not dumb. You know, they're going to do a little research, and all of a sudden they're going to find out, oh, I can go over here and log in with this username password. So never, ever, ever use the same password twice on a website. And I know many of you are saying, no, I can't do that. I can't keep track of it. And there's multiple applications out there that will help you do that. But I'd love to hear from anyone that's run into a problem here. And if you've had, was your account hacked? And what kind of response did you get from DreamHost? Did you have any downtime? I'd love to hear your feedback on this. But this is like the second time in a year where they've had a major, major issue, and sites have went offline en masse. If you are a Adobe Acrobat user, Reader 8.1 has been released. And one thing that's kind of cool that they've got on there is they have a send to FedEx Kinko's button right on the Reader itself. And you can send print jobs to a local Kinko's. I think this is pretty cool, because when it gets around time for podcast and new media expo, I'm doing like trip after trip after trip over to Kinko's. Well, now I'm just going to be able to order my print jobs right online, and I cut down going over there and just go over there and pick stuff up. Actually, I'll have it, I'll send it to the Kinko's in Ontario and then have them, you know, deliver the stuff to the hotel. Very, very cool. And like to see what more Adobe's going to do by integrating. Hopefully some of their other products will get integrated with Kinko's as well, FedEx/Kinko's. And we'll be able to send more print jobs to them. I'd love to be able to send stuff from, what product do I use? Let me look here. Did I make all my banners with? Of course, I got to tell you now that I thought about it. Adobe Illustrator is what I use to have all my banners put up. I think I use CS2 is the version I'm on now. I think they're getting ready to, or have already updated that. But okay. Let's move on to the next thing. The new YouTube interface for embedded videos is up online. And I was kind of confused when I saw this the first time, because the little YouTube logo is gone. It's not down in there. So what happens is I saw this player and it started playing. So that was pretty cool. And down below, I could scroll and see other videos. Now, I'm not fully sure how this all works yet. Hopefully, as a YouTube publisher, I'll be able to tie other my videos embedded in there, and you can click on it midstream and it'll actually pick up the new video and start playing it. So if you haven't seen this yet, I'm going to have this linked up on Google Blog Scoped, and you can look at the promotional video that they have here and how it works. And if you've seen this already, you'll know what I'm talking about. But very interesting. And what their goal here is to keep you on the page. They don't want you, you know, if you find a video is halfway through, you don't like it, they just want you to be able to use these embeds to be able to switch to a different video at the same time. I don't know how they've got it all tied together, if it's by the publisher's choice or not. I need to get over there and play with it a little bit. A lot of great stuff going on with players. Do you know of a good, how about, here's a little challenge for all of you. I'm looking for a great open source embed video player. It doesn't have to be Flash, not playing Flash. It could be just something that will play regular videos. I've got a couple of ideas. There's one that's actually made by a European company that I'm looking at. But I'm looking for something open source I can buy and then modify. I'm getting ready to get Angelo cranking up on putting us together a real full-featured embeddable video player. Now, the player that we have on the website, if you click on the little blueberry player button on my site, is designed to play regular media files, and it will do it continuously while even if you continue surfing the internet. So, but I'm looking for something for an actual page embed that we can license and then modify as we need to. So I'd love to hear your feedback on that as well. Reach out there, and those of you that are doing video, maybe you can give me a good reference point. Akamai has released some very, very cool monitoring pages for the web. It's called Real-Time Web Monitor. And let me pull a little pull down here. We can look at network performance, visualize the Akamai Net Usage Index Retail, Net Usage Index Music, Net Index Usage News. And it shows right now, I'm looking at the system, and the traffic right now throughout the entire world is 29% below normal. This afternoon when I looked at it, it was 7% above normal. It tells you where the most of the traffic is right now, if they're running slow or hot. California and Texas are big in the United States right now. I'm looking over here. I'm going to drag the window over by Hawaii. And we are we're about normal. But if I hover over the top of China, China's traffic is way up right now. Of course, it's daylight in China now, so that kind of makes sense. But this is kind of a nice representation of, you know, what's going with traffic, what the latency is actually got an attack thing. Let me bring up the attacks page here. Most of the attacks are occurring right now. Yep, it makes sense. Happening in China. Looks like Brazil is also pretty hot right now. California seems to stay in the red all the time. California and Texas, I don't know why that is. I know why California is, but I don't know why Texas is. So it seems to be always getting a fair number of attacks. But anyway, I'll have this link up in the show notes. The geeks are going to love this. And of course, you want to go ahead and play around with it. Firefox version 3 is going to be including a very impressive malware protection. You're going to say you go to a website that has been linked by Google to containing malware. You're going to get this huge pop-up. It's going to cover the page. It's going to say, known attack site. The website at evil.foo has been identified as an attack site. This site attempts to install destructive programs on your computer. Beautiful. This is absolutely brilliant by the folks at Firefox. Look forward to Firefox version 3 coming out later in the fall. There is a beta version for those of you that are very, very brave at this point to run that. Most of your third-party plugins will break, so be aware of that. But nice to see Firefox taking a more proactive stance and protecting those that are not that tech-savvy. And for actually, you know, any of us can be affected. We could go to any website, and if you don't know who the owner is, or, you know, you could be infected just by visiting the websites now. It's pretty scary. It really, really is. All right, I found a plugin for Firefox that I said, wow, that really makes sense. And I immediately went and installed it. And what this plugin does is make all web page text interactive with hyperwords. Now, it's got a real cool music theme here. I'm not going to play it, but I am going to start the video and kind of walk through what this thing will do. Is you can highlight a person's name. You can right-click, select a little menu item, and go to Wikipedia. You can select a word and have it translated. It's just all types of meta searches on different types of stuff that you select within text on a website. And I'm like, wow, I do this stuff. You know, I cut and I paste. I put it up in Google, or I cut and paste. And I go to a, you know, it's awesome. It really, really is. And it just going to save me so much time in just keystrokes because it's perfect. It's the absolute, it's one of the best plugins I think I've ever seen for Firefox. I found this over at lifehacker.com. And definitely install this thing. It's called Hyperwords. Hyperwords is the name of it. Come watch the video. Once you see the video on the website, you're going to be like, whoa, that's cool. And just because of the multiple types of actions you can take on text that you have selected. Now, I'm not going to leave the IE7 people out. And I don't normally, you know, I haven't found that many IE7 plugins that really interested me that much. But anyway, the E7 Pro is probably what I would consider a must-have add-on for Internet Explorers. It does a lot of things to tweak and make IE more friendly and useful. Some of the things it does is it has a tab browsing management, spell checker, inline search, a super drag and drop, crash recovery, proxy switcher, mouse gesture, tab history browser, web accelerator, user agent, web page capture, a ad blocker, a flash blocker. It has Grease Monkey included. It has, Grease Monkey like user scripts. So very, very cool. And it's E7 Pro. I'll have the link up to it in the show notes. I think I found this. I was looking at some stuff on browsers and I found kind of a thread on great tools that could be used. Now, I'm sure many of you are diehard fans of using Google Search, and we're always looking for more commands to make searches more specific with Google. So I'm going to send you over to a dumblittleman.com website for 20 tips for more efficient Google searches. It's going to teach you how to use wildcards, advanced search, definitions, how to use the calculator, site-specific stuff, backlinks, vertical searches, either or quotes and so forth. So I have this link up in the show notes. Very, very simple instructions on how to use this. Being able to find movies, music, unit converters, types of numbers, file types, cached pages, you name it. They've got it on these tips. 20 tips for more efficient Google use. Now, how many of you have businesses that are in the Pacific Northwest? Have you heard of TowerStream? Sounds like a cool company. I wish we had TowerStream here in Hawaii because I would sign up for their service in a heartbeat. And TowerStream is similar to Clearwire. And of course, I have a Clearwire modem here. And so far, it's worked really, really well on a dual WAN system that I have. But TowerStream is essentially a Clearwire, but for businesses. Clearwire had an IPO, and they've been launching some more cities, but TowerStream is going to also be looking for an IPO to raise a huge amount of money to expand their sets of services. But if you are a TowerStream customer, I'd love to hear some feedback from you on how their product works and the type of speed you get with their service. And if you have any inside information on where they're going next with their services, love to hear that as well. All right, I am a laptop junkie. I use my laptop as a desktop. Really, you know, I use my desktop just to record podcasts and to do a little video work, and that's basically all I use my desktop for. But I've always, you know, I always want to be able to have a couple extra screens with my laptop. And, you know, a lot of times, and you know, I've got a flat screen here, a Samsung flat screen, a SyncMaster 215 TW. It's a great monitor. And I can, I'm coughing on you. I'm sorry. I can run a dual monitor on it, but it just isn't convenient in the way my office is set up. Well, tonight I found a laptop computer that actually comes with three screens. And I'm looking at this thing thinking, brilliant, absolutely brilliant. Now, I don't know how much it cost. I don't know how heavy it is, but here you've got a standard laptop set up on a table and then two screens that are angled off it. So you can have with a laptop three screens. I'm sure it's heavy, but for those of you that love having multiple screens, this looks like the cat's meow, and I'm sure it's going to be very, very expensive, but wow, very, very cool. And it probably is about the size of a briefcase, I'm sure, after it's all folded up. Great for displays and trade shows, and for those of you that need more screen space when you travel. I'll see how heavy it is. I don't know either. I have to find more info about it. But anyway, available. I'll have a link up in the show notes. For those of you that are Apple users, there's the first ever MacBook or MacBook Pro battery charger, external. So if you have extra batteries for your Mac and you're always having to switch them out and charge them within the unit itself, you can buy an external battery charger now for $149. And wow, you know, I agree completely with the folks at Gizmodo. When I was at the Consumer Electronics Show, the biggest hassle we had, we could have carried our laptops with us, but I'm thinking, well, you know, I'm not going to get very much battery life out of it. You know, if I carry I get battery life out of it, but we'll kill them. And if I change the batteries, you know, it's all good until you get back to the hotel room and then have to get up in the middle of the night and change the battery out to get it charged. Well, this is going to solve that. And that now you'll be able to buy a couple of these units. If you've got extra batteries, you can go back to the hotel room, plug them in, plug the discharge batteries out, get them charged up without having to get up in the middle of the night. Of course, going to be up in the middle of the night processing videos anyway, but to get these charged up. Great idea, great product, great price. It's a little pricey for the majority of people, but if, you know, depending on how you're going to use them, great value, worth the $149. All right, how many of you have went out and bought Munster HDMI cables? Raise your hands. How many of you have been convinced by some salesman to spend $220 on a single HDMI cable? Raise your hands. Well, I've always wondered, well, what is the difference? And I've never, you know, bought a Munster HDMI cable to put on a test bench to be able to tell, but the folks over at Gizmodo are about ready to do that for us. They've ordered a slew of cables, taking a $20 HDMI, and they're going to put it up against a $220 Munster cable, and they're going to report back who wins and what's the difference. Well, let's be honest. Those $220 Munster cables, I bet you in the end, this is my speculation, the difference between that and the $20 cable is going to be about nothing. I don't think there'll be any difference whatsoever. If there is, it'll be very, very minor. And you all have heard the stories. Oh, they're hermetically sealed, and they have a better connectivity, and they're not going to rust, and you know all those things that Munster says the reason their cables are better. Well, we will see. We will see if the signal is actually better coming out of a Munster cable or a $20 cable. All right, Parallels 3 is live. You can get it. It's available now. I haven't seen what it's going to cost for an upgrade, but here's the cool thing. You can launch a Windows application directly from your OS X desktop. You double-click on a icon, and it will launch the Windows application from a single icon. Very, very cool. I'm going to have to go get myself a copy of this. That's for sure. Have you guys upgraded? You know, this maybe next week at WWDC, maybe Apple's going to be announcing something similar. And if they do, Microsoft's going to be in big, big trouble. That's for sure. Anyway, I'm a big Parallels fan, and it's been able to do everything I normally do on my PC right in within Parallels. Very, 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 very impressive. And, you know, I'm sorry, and I know some of you that are Windows users are going to be like, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. Stop. You got to admit, it's pretty innovative. Now, when is someone going to get their act together and do this in reverse where I can have OS X on my PC? It's probably going to snow in Hawaii first. Well, actually, it does snow in Hawaii on the Big Island, but on Oahu, I don't think it's going to snow anytime soon. All right, Pinnacle has kicked out a $100 PC TV HD stick USB tuner. You know, I talked about the HD stick from Elgato as well, so this is a direct competitor for that. So Pinnacle's got one available. You know, I don't know. I've had mixed results with Pinnacle's hardware, so I have to wait for some reviews to come out on this, but I have a link up to it available in the show notes. You know, I've got a lot of stuff tonight that I have not covered yet. I don't know if we're going to get through everything. Let's speed up a little bit here. Found a really cool lamp. I'm into really cool desktop lamps now. Concept Z-Bar LED lamp, 40,000 hours. and it's pretty. It's really nice. Price tag on it's a little pricey, but it's something that is definitely different that would work well for many of you that have cluttered desks. The article of the day that caught my attention was the Falcon Fragbook DRX, Spendy, Hefty, and Oh So Fast. It's almost a $7,800 laptop. Yes, you heard me correctly, $7,800. It has a Core 2 Duo Extreme X6800 2.93 gigahertz processor, 4 gigabits of RAM, a 17-inch 1920 by 1200 LCD. The laptop packs a 100 gig 7200 RPM hard drive, two 160 gigabyte 5400 hard drives, and a really ices the cake with a dual NVIDIA GeoForce 7950 GTX 512 megabyte graphics card. It's got 802.11n Wi-Fi, built-in TV tuner, and 8x dual layer DVD burner. And sadly, only a 1 hour battery life. No kidding. 12.1 pounds, 7687. Really, is that worth it? You know, think about it. I could buy a Mac Pro quad with all the chips in it, plus a 30-inch Apple monitor for the same price. I've never spent more than like $1,700 for a laptop. If someone wants to give me one to test drive for about a year, I'd be happy to do that. But $7,687? Are they kidding me? Who are they kidding? Who can afford to buy that? Who would need that? Any of you want this laptop? What would you use it for besides gaming? If you're not a gamer, would you need this laptop? It's crazy. $7,687. Wow. That'll hurt you. I can buy a car for that much. Jeez. All right. Over on MacRumors.com, ZFS to become default file system in Leopard. That was kind of the cat out of the bag on this. So it's going to make the ZFS is going to be the file system in Mac OS 10.5 Leopard. So this is actually pretty good news. We'll see how this develops. I'm sure we're going to hear more about this in WWDC. All right, I'm going to have a video for you. I'm going to link it to it. If you are taking any type of physics classes and you want to know about vector physics, this video is really, all I'm going to say is a truck going 100 kilometers per hour and then they shoot a baseball out of the back of the truck using one of those baseball pitching machines at 100 kilometers per hour. You got to watch the video and have your kids see it. Because it's dramatic. It really, really is. And it explains vector physics in real life. It's you can't get any better than that. You can't. All right, next up is... Oh, I already talked about that. So we can save a little time there. I had that article linked up twice. Hey, you hear about the book publisher who was at the Book Expo in New York last week? He swiped two Google laptops from the Google booth, and then when the Google employees, after about 20 minutes, figured out they were missing, him and his assistant took them back to Google and said, "See what it feels like?" Basically, kind of making a pun, you're stealing our, you know, stealing our books by scanning them. So how does it feel to have your notebooks stolen? I don't know what ended up happening here. But it was actually done by the Macmillan CEO. I don't know if he was arrested or if they pressed charges, but, you know, think about that. Going into someone's booth, taking their laptops, and then kind of trying to make a little bit of a political statement over that. Very interesting. All right, what does the Apple TV cost to make? Say it's Apple only makes $60 on the actual unit, and the most expensive thing within the unit is the modified Intel processor that's in it. The cheapest thing is 75 cents for the Wi-Fi chip. or actually 75 cents for the audio chip. And they're saying that on the new 160 gig drive units, that the price point on those are a little bit, they make a little bit more money on them. But everybody's asking why, and I guess the Apple's planning on making it up on the backside with different media deals and so forth. Over on space.com, they found a hole on Mars. And you hear, you know, the things flying around, shooting images, and they found a very dark spot. And it's just like you almost can look into oblivion into this hole. So I'm sure this is going to be getting a lot of attention. This geological oddity measures 330 feet across and is located on an otherwise bright, dusty lava plain to the northwest of Argia Mons, one of the four giant volcanoes on the red planet. So very, very cool. So I would almost bet that at one point in the future, there's something is going to have to go look at that. All right, internet advertising has soared to $5 billion in quarter one. So it continues to move money here. The folks at Juiced are saying that they're going to be bringing out a set-top box in the future. So that's very, very interesting. Got a very interesting article about a gentleman who was at a truck stop and filling up his car, and he rolled his wheelchair in front of a big truck, and the big truck moved and got himself hooked up, and he went about 4 miles, attached the front of this big rig, and reached speeds up to 50 miles per hour. It happened. This is really the real deal here. They got pictures of it and everything. This happened in Michigan. So I guess there were anywhere speeds up to 50 or 60 miles per hour. And the guy that was in the wheelchair said it was a heck of a ride. He was okay, but the back of the wheelchair got hooked into the grill. I have pictures for this. Can you imagine? You're thinking, this is the end. All right, there's a great picture over on badastronomy.com. Astronomers have found the most massive star ever discovered. Have this link up in the show notes, and they are saying this thing is huge. So I'll let you guys take a look at the picture. You can just see by the picture that it is. All right, gosh, I'm going to just give you the rest of the links in we have to talk about one. We're in an hour and 2 minutes, but I can't help myself. Paris Hilton, how many of you are upset that she only did 3 days in jail? If you can't do the time, don't do the crime. I'm glad to see that the judge is going to have her back in court here. You know, what is wrong with this country? I'm like, hello. You know, if that had been you or me, we'd be rotten in jail. First of all, we wouldn't be in jail in the first place because we wouldn't have been so stupid to do what she did. But they let her out of jail because of some medical issue. I just can't believe it. I really can't. Enough on that. It's not tech, but I just had to say something. All right, I'll have a bunch more links in the show notes. Again, I had a lot of stuff tonight. Couldn't get through it all. Let me go ahead and play the first voicemail comment, or we're going to be here 2 hours. As always, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail line is 619-342-7365. And here's the first audio comment.
Hey, Todd, it's Tom calling from Chicago.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, I just want to let you know I'm a couple of shows back from where most people are listening. But, hey, congratulations on being listed in Jay Levinson's Guerrilla Marketing book. For those of you out there, the books that he writes are excellent. I mean, he's like a guerrilla marketing guru. And his book was like one of three books that I kept on next to my bed, on my desk. And he just gives so many good marketing ideas that are very low cost, very budget conscious, and it's a very big honor for you to be in his book. I'm going to get his new book because the book that I have is kind of from a little bit dated from, the 90s in the sense that it has a lot to do with, direct mailing, stuff like that. But it's definitely a good book to have on your bookshelf, and especially if you're running a business, like you are and I am. It's got some great ideas, some great marketing ideas to help boost your sales. So definitely pick it up. Definitely worth having, and you should definitely send him a note and because I think he'd be tickled to hear from you. So congratulations. Definitely not. I'm going to pick up the book as quick as I can to read to see what Mr. Levinson has to say for marketing in this century. So, all right, Todd, you keep up the good work. Bye-bye.
Hey, thanks for that. And yes, you convinced me. I'm going to go ahead and order and get it delivered as quick as I can, and I'll send him a note off. Thanks for the kind comments as well on that. All right, here's the next audio comment.
Hey, Todd. John from Lakewood.
Hey, John.
I'm listening to your Tuesday podcast about Symantec and Microsoft and Apple and everybody getting together to try to solve the problem from viruses and Trojans and all that stuff. I'm with you about not having the government. We don't need another agency spying on us and taking control of computers and all that stuff. And last thing I need is another company like Big Brother type watching over my computer when I buy it and having to try to get that out. That's a bad idea. But what I do want to say is, you know, Microsoft bought a company that I think it was called Claris, and they were part of the Gator Network, and they came out with this product, you know, the malicious tool to scan your computer. Well, their first few updates didn't scan for their own stuff, and I think it was ClarisWorks or Clarion or whatever it was. Anyway, Microsoft is not a company I would trust to do that and say, hey, you know, scan my computer, but by the way, you bought some other computer to some other company to monitor all of us and be able to sell your advertising, and you're not going to scan for them. Now, I think the solution is public education. If these guys really want to get out there and do it, then create some ads. You know, if the government wants to do it, create an ad campaign. You know, just load such and such. A couple examples, there's a great firewall that's free that is called Komodo, I think. Anyway, it's free. It's not like Zone Alarm. It's just a firewall, and you can get that free. There's a company called Avast that does free antivirus. There are free solutions out there where for home users, not for business, but for home users, they're offering solutions to try to curb that. And I think the way that Microsoft and Apple and all these hardware vendors want to really do a service, they'll put some of these free solutions on, not things like Symantec or McAfee that are all these huge bundled things that pop up, all these little ad pop-ups, and by the way, it's good for 60 days, and you got to buy it. It's another $39 for a year. Now, if Symantec and McAfee really wanted to provide a service to people and really, really do a good internet service, they'd offer an opportunity to get that program for free for personal use. They could sell it to corporate, and there's some advantages to that, but, you know, this is one of those things where we need to just say, hey, you know, public awareness is the best thing, and get everybody to know what's out there. Anyway, that's my two cents. Thanks, and hope you're doing well in Hawaii. Mahalo. Aloha.
Mahalo, and thank you for your great comments as well. Well said, and I guess I really don't have anything to add to that. I think we'll have to see what comes, but something's got to be done. You know, really, it's the number of computers being hacked and overtaken with malware is just, you know, it's over the top. It's out of control. All right. On the last show, I think I missed some emails. If I go over a couple here that I've covered before, I apologize. But I got an email from Nir. He said, hey, Todd, compact fluorescents may be energy efficient, but they are still extremely cost ineffective. The price has to drop drastically before I buy them. Anyhow, thanks for the heads up regarding their toxicity. Can you recommend a good, preferably free, website builder? What do you think of FrontPage? Nir, be honest with you, run from FrontPage. But maybe someone in the audience, because I have not had a free, or I haven't used a free website building application in a long time, maybe someone in the audience can recommend a good free HTML editor with some of the modern CSS and div technology in it. To give you a good suggestion. We'll see if we get some feedback from them. But yeah, run as fast as you can away from Front Page, okay? I got an email from the Free Geek, and he says, "Hey, I'm just writing to let you know that I posted a featured article, 10 Common Myths About Geeks. I thought your readers at Geek News Central might be interested in having a look. I'll put the link up in the show notes. Appreciate the link. I have to check that out. I haven't seen it yet myself. I want to thank Jim for the high-res images from Mars. I'll have a link up to that in the show notes as well. Got an email from Wendy. She says, "Todd, can I vent? I am just so sick of hearing about folks in the city getting yet another broadband service. They have several to select from already. I have satellite or dial-up. Not only do I pay $59.99 monthly, but I am limited to no more than 200 meg of data download and upload combined within a rolling 24-hour period. Should I go over that, they actually knock me down to 12 kilobits per second for 24 hours as punishment to being a broadband hog. In addition, my top speed is 516 kilobits per second. As you can see, I use HughesNet. While my service is very, very reliable, it's very limited. Says, I live in Chico, California, in a town where there is cable and DSL, but I live in the outskirts of town in a beautiful canyon. My price for living here is satellite. Wendy, please go out to the Sprint store or Verizon. Ask them to get a loaner phone that is EVDO capable. Take it home, plug it into your laptop, and see what kind of connectivity speeds you get if you have service there. I'm almost, unless you're in such a situation where the cell service doesn't get in, I bet you that you will get, if they have Rev A in Chico, which I would almost imagine they would at this point, check and see if it's available. And, ask the Sprint rep. Tell them where you live, and, you might be surprised. I understand. My mom is on dial-up, and, luckily, she's out in the country. We live on a dirt road. I have EVDO Rev A connectivity at her house. So, closest town is like 12 miles away. So, go figure. Who knows? I think it might be worth you checking into, and you'll definitely get better speeds on Sprint EVDO Rev A for sure than you will on that 516 kilobit connection with HughesNet. Got an email from Robert. He had linked me over to the Movable Type 4.0 announcement. Thanks for that. Got an email from Dan, and this is a long one. He says, "Hey Todd, I was one with you in a Ustream a couple of weeks ago when your family were driving in Hawaii. I was quoting you St. Louis gas prices, among other things." Yeah, I remember that. "Anyway, hate to beat a dead horse, but I just listened to show number 273 and compelled to add some comments regarding the YouTube video download in RealPlayer. First, the reason there are so many tools that rip YouTube content out there is that it's really simple to do. Long before I discovered any of the download tools out there, I figured out that the videos just get dumped into the browser cache and everything else that comes in, at least in Firefox. Though you'd have to be a bit technically inclined to do this, all I have to do is pull up your browser cache structure in Windows Explorer detailed list view mode first, sort by time, date, then view a YouTube video in your browser. Once the video is fully loaded, it will most likely be the last big file in your cache directory. It will come with a random name. All you have to do is copy it out to your desktop and rename it to something meaningful with a .flv extension, and you have a playable Flash video file. No browser plugin required. I'm pretty sure it works the same way in Linux, though the directory paths are obviously different. That said, if the video is really short, it can be kind of tricky to pick out that from the other stuff that comes in at almost the same time. As one of the other commenters said, VLC will play FLV files, so you can just leave it at that or easily convert it to something else with one of the free converter tools out there." He goes on to say, "I guess my main point is that there is no magic here. It's certainly not worth installing anything from Real Networks on your machine to accomplish. To be honest, I have no experience with the latest version of RealPlayer, and it's a safe to say I never will. I support a large number of computers on the job and at home, and previous versions of RealPlayer were certainly one of the worst pieces of monkey-do of a pseudo-media player I had ever had to deal with. Bad stuff. It used to trash file associations, call home, push ads, etc. I could go on and on about this, but this email is too long already. Suffice to say, they have abused my confidence more than once. They won't get that chance again. So I love your shows. Here's one of the few I have to hear on that day it comes out. By the way, congratulations on the impending job switch, Dan in St. Peter's, Missouri. Thanks, Dan. I definitely appreciate that comment. Got an email from JP, and he talks about how NHK is testing Ultra HD, and he's got a link to an article on that. I have that up in the show notes. He says, be careful about using the following article. See at the, oh, what is this? See at the end. Oh, I'll look at this, JP, before I put this up in the show notes. There might be something there. Love the show. I got an email from Cadel, and she's out of Boston. Love the show, Todd. Keep up the great work. I look forward to your podcast on a weekly basis. Hey, thank you so very much. Got an email from Chris. He says, hey, I've created some 3 new tutorials that might be interest to you. They're on MySQL Basics, PHP Basics, and Perl Basics. We looked at the available how-to stuff on LAMP. It all seemed to be by programmers for programmers. It assumed a level of knowledge that most beginners don't have. So we created these to help newbies get up to speed on the basics. Thought your readers might be find them interesting. Best regards. And this is over at inpix.net. The last email I'm going to talk about tonight, and I don't have time to read it, is from Bill out of Indiana. And Bill, you made me laugh. You really did. The email was pretty funny, and it's in the entitled of it is the subject on is called Wussies in Geeky Land. this is just hilarious. It really is, and I want to thank you for taking time to send this to me. I tell you, very passionate about this, and it's just a great commentary. Thanks for sending me this. Send me more of this good stuff. And maybe I'll take time on the next show to read it. I think everyone else needs to have a little laugh and some fun. And I hope you're not completely serious in this. And if you are, whew, it's pretty good though. So I do thank you for sending an email though. And everyone, I appreciate everyone's comments and commentary. I need to get done here. But thanks everybody. And as always, have a safe weekend, and we'll see you, of course, on the other side next Tuesday. We'll have another show for you. And, as always, thanks to the Ohana for staying subscribed, and tell your friends about the show. And, you know, maybe we'll start giving some stuff away next week. I was going to maybe do something tonight, but, I think it's just a little bit early yet. Wait till near the middle of the month. But as always, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com for your show comments, or call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. Everyone have a terrific weekend. Take care, and aloha.